few minutes about the sugya of mechiras chametz. Okay, we all have the custom. I assume everyone here sells the chametz to the guy through the rav. Some people don't even have chametz what to sell, but still, you're in the habit of going to the rav before Pesach and putting your name down on a shtar to sell to the guy. You don't sell the chametz to the rabbi. That's a mistake. No one sells the chametz to the rabbi. You sell the chametz to the non-Jew, and the rabbi is your agent. Did anyone ever come to sell you their chametz? I'm not buying your chametz. I'm not buying your chametz. I'm selling your chametz for you to a non-Jew. What is the issue? The issue over here is, now again, this is a topic, this is a massive topic. There's no end to the literature on this topic. We just thought this discussing this teeny Tiva Shabayam, some of Rashi Prokim from Higyone HaParasha by Rabbi Aryeh David Wasserman. There's a very beautiful chapter on this in Parashas Bo. This is arranged according to the Parasha. The main topic, the main thrust of his issue is, why isn't this called a harama? Why isn't this called a trick? Especially when you have a situation where you use the same goy every single year. Every single year you bring in the same non-Jew, and you tell the non-Jew, listen, I'm the rabbi of a shul, I represent 500 members, and the combined net worth of the chametz can be anywhere between $10 and $10 million. Sometimes there are people selling corporations. They have stock. There's a question, you have a food company, you own stock, that's a shaila. Are you mechuyev to sell your stock in a company? Or at sometimes people have, you know, liquor, they have schnapps, they have whiskey, they have things which can indeed be worth a lot of money. And you're selling this to the non-Jew. Is the non-Jew really paying for it? He's giving a down payment. He gives, we'll go through the technique in a few minutes, he's going to give $10, $50, $100, and the remainder was a balance. The balance can be $10 million. And then what happens? When Pesach is over, we buy it back, we give him back his $10, and we take it back. And when you do this a couple of times, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, the guy obviously knows that this whole thing is just a game, it's a charade. So what kind of mechira is this? Doesn't this fall into the category of a harama? And there's a general rule that in business, in Shulchan Aruch HaShemesh, if you are involved in business, and the business, there is a lack of sincerity in the business transaction, it's bottled. It's not a legal transaction. So maybe the Jew, now let's look at it from the perspective of the Jew and the guy. The Jew certainly wants to relinquish his rights on the chametz because he does not in any way want to be over on the issur of Baal Yiroyeh and Baal Yimotzeh. So there's no question the Jew is 100% sincere, even though the Jew is planning on buying it back. But at least for the duration of Pesach, I don't want to have it in my rishus. But a business transaction has two partners, a buyer and a seller. The buyer also has to be sincere. And a non-Jew, once already he knows that you're going to buy back when Pesach is over, and once he already gets the sense that he's not really buying it because I'm only giving you a small down payment of $10 for chametz that's in my eyes unknown. I don't even know how much the chametz is worth. I don't even know what the chametz is. We have to go from house to house, look at the shtar, go from house to house and see exactly how much chametz, what condition it is, what's the resale value, can I sell it on eBay, can I not sell it on eBay, how am I going to get into your house, I don't have the keys, there's such a tircha. There are so many obstacles that are involved in selling the chametz to a guy. When the guy sits down to think about what exactly he's getting himself into, does he really believe in the back of his mind that he legally owns all of this chametz?
How do you convince him to put that down payment if he doesn't? Knows he's not going to get the mail.
Because you basically tell him that don't worry about it. That's what you basically tell him. I remember my father, Zechon Levracha. I'll tell you firsthand. I remember my father's home. My father was very into mechiras chametz. He spent a lot of time researching. He wrote had his own shtaros. He was very interested. It was very dear to his heart. And I remember he told me that he used different goyim over the years. He had a whole different collection of non-Jews. Some in the early years it was a disaster. The guy was totally. It wasn't very clever, the guy. Then he got a lot better guy. He had some very intelligent people.
You're not supposed to be too smart.
Well, no, why not? Adaraba, my father, he loved the smart ones because they really knew what was going on. They really understood very well what was happening. But I remember the first one time he had a woman, the ten who used to live, remember the shul, he lived upstairs in the shul. There was a woman who lived up there. So the first time he did it with her so well, like she just went along with it. And then when it came to buy the chametz back, my father said, okay, Pesach is over. And we arranged that after the holiday, we're going to now continue the process. He gave me a down payment of $50, and there's a balance, and the balance has to be determined. We have to go take out the shtar and go from house to house. And, the balance may be, a few thousand dollars, maybe even $100,000. And she turned white. She turned white. She really, yeah. It really dawned upon her that what I get myself into. I got over here, I gave a balance of $50, and the remainder there was a balance, and the balance was owed. And now you're telling me we're going to appoint a committee, we're going to go from house to house, every single name on these documents to go and make an evaluation. And I'm gonna have to pay $100,000. I can't afford to pay $100,000 for this. So my father said, if that's the case, if you want, I'll buy it back. I'll take it off your hands. I'll give you back your balance. I'll give you back the balance, and I'll give you also some money for your time. I'll give you $50, for the trouble, and we can just cancel everything. We'll buy it back from you. Ha! Huh, yeah. Gave her back the $50. He also gave her $50 for the time and effort. And she walked away. Wow, what a great deal. I came away here with $50. The next year, she was asking, when are we doing this again? when are we doing the transaction? Easy money, $50. She ready once the first year, she really turned white. And then, every subsequent year, I can't wait. Who's going to give me $50 for sitting down for 20 minutes of my time for just going through the motions of doing something? So it becomes a harama. It becomes a charade. So how do you deal with this? Now, even though from our perspective, it's not, we are sincere. We desperately want to release the chumash from our rishus, not to be everybody matzei, but it takes two to tangle. You have to have also a buyer, and the buyer has to be sincere. If the buyer is not sincere of purchasing it, it's not valid. So this is a major, major issue in the sugya.
After the first year, she's not sincere. She knows she's
exactly. After the first year, she's not sincere anymore. That's exactly the problem. But this is a universal problem all over Klal Yisrael. So how do you deal with this? So, according to the opinion of the Ritva, and according to the Machzis HaShekel, the Machzis, because of this reason, you're not allowed to sell your chametz to the goy every single year. You're only allowed to sell your chametz to the goy occasionally. In other words, you should try to work it out that you have no chametz when it comes Pesach. Occasionally. Now, you have to see that we're dealing with this very, very big fundamental difference between the way the Mechiras Chametz is done today and the way it was done 1,000 years ago. First of all, this the concept of selling Chametz to the guy, you know, was that the earliest source is a Tosafta. No, it's done by the community for 400 years. And let's take a step back. The concept of selling Chametz brought down in a Tosafta. The earliest Makar comes from a Tosafta in Masechta Pesachim, which basically is like a Mishnah. It's like a Mishnah Braisa. It says there, Yisrael v'Nochri shoha yudboyin b'svina. They're on a boat. The chametz b'yad Yisrael, and the Jew has chametz in his possession. Harei ze moichoy l'Nochri v'noisne b'matana. You should sell it to the guy on the boat and give it to him b'matana, which the first should mean that it should be a complete transaction. V'choyzer v'loikeach mimenu li'achar Pesach uvilvad sheyitin loy b'matana gemura. The concept of selling chametz to a guy and buying it back is an ancient principle which goes back to a Tosefta. It's also recorded something very similar in the Yerushalmi of selling your chametz to the guy and buying it back when Pesach is over. And the Rambam quotes this, and the Rambam quotes a little bit differently, and there's a discussion exactly why the Rambam changed the Nusach, what exactly the Rambam is coming to add to this concept. Therefore, this is no question that this concept of selling your chametz to a non-Jew goes back thousands of years.
He was on a boat, he had no choice.
Exactly, he had no choice. Okay, it's a very good point. The Ritva and the Machsa Shekel, they are both of the opinion that even though we have a source from the Gemara, but the Gemara, the Tosefta, but the Tosefta says it has to be a Matana Gemura, has to be a Matana Gemura, and in the Yerushalmi it says it should not be a Harama, indicates you can't do this every single year. You only can do this once in a while. Ba'akroy ba'alma. Very nice. You have
to something. To the same person.
Oh, to the same person. In order that there should be gnira stas, the buyer should recognize, I'm really buying this for real. For real. Now, you have to understand, there's a very, very big difference the way it's done in ancient times. Not until very recently was it done the way we do it today by a rough. In ancient times, every single person on his own would go to his next door neighbor, I'm selling you my chametz. Well, let's make the kinyanin. Because it was very common, everyone knew how to make the kinyanin. In recent times, we're not expert in making kinyanin. So for the last 400 years, it became the custom that in a community, there is a rav, and it's a two-step process. First, every member of the community goes to the rabbi, and he writes a shtar harshah. He writes a shtar of authorization. I hereby authorize you, the rabbi, to be my representative in power of attorney to sell today. That changes the dynamics of mechiras chametz in many, many ways. Being that we are no longer selling the chametz in our day and age directly to a non-Jew, it's been done in a two-step process. A person goes to a rabbi, and the rabbi sells to the non-Jew on behalf of many, many people in a community, creates a whole new set of complex issues. In fact, some are better and some are worse, which we'll discuss in a few moments. But that's a very important difference to take note of. But this is a classic yesoid from the Machsa Shekel and from the Ritva. You're only allowed to sell chametz as an individual, if you are an individual, in the way it was done in ancient times, occasionally, not every year, in order that it should not be a harama. Period. Along comes the Chumas, the Bukhar Shar. Okay, the Bukhar Shar is one of the early Achronim, I believe, and he says an amazing Chiddush, a fasting Chiddush, which almost everyone disagrees. I don't know if everyone disagrees, we rely upon it today, no question about it. It's probably the main thing we rely upon. He says it's not so. You're allowed l'chatchila to do a harama. You can do it every single year. You can go through the motions. You want to know why? Because you're not really selling the chametz to the guy. You're selling chametz that you don't own. The Bukhar Shah is of the opinion that you really, all of your chametz, all of your multi-million dollar chametz, you're mevatel. You're mevatel. That's the ikar. The ikar is kol chamira vechamira. If you own chametz, most people don't have much chametz. What do they really have?
Someone has a warehouse for $1 million worth of liquor.
Okay, that's a more serious type of person. That's a more serious issue. That type of person, he has problems. That person. Average person. What do you already have? Yeah, if you're lucky, you have maybe $5-$10 worth of liquor on in your closet. Open bottles. How much are you going to get from an open bottle of whiskey? Come on. Yeah. How much are you going to get? Open bottle of whiskey on eBay? Try to sell an open bottle of whiskey on eBay. See how much you can get.
Another person is drunk.
Okay, the shipping costs more than what you're going to get when you're going to get from the open bottle. So these things, what are you really doing with these things? I'm being mevatelet. It's hefker. Ka'afra da'ara. It's hefker. Now the halacha is just because you mafker it, you're not allowed to have it in your house. Now you have to destroy it. So in order to avoid the need to destroy it and to get it out of the house, you can sell it to the guy. The sale is only a sale midrabban midat Torah. All you have to do is declare it to be ownerless. That's all you have to do. The Rabbanan said, we want you to go the extra step and destroy it. Get it out of the house and don't just declare it ownerless and leave it on the shelf. Get it out of the house. Destroy it.
This is part of it, you're selling the space that you're...
Oh, we know. That's a technicality. Right, the property, you have to rent or sell the place where the chametz is resting. We're going to come down in a few moments. But let's first focus on the chametz itself. There's a very fascinating chiddush from the Bukhar Shar. Very fascinating. So he says, Me'ikar hadin, all of your chametz, you are mafkir. The Rabbanan said, good, you have fulfilled your biblical requirement, but we don't want you to have it in your home. We don't want you to have it in your rishus. So for that, you know what? I'm going to make believe I was not mafkir it, and I'm going to sell it to the guy. The sale is a harama. Now, every sale, you can't say a sale is a harama, because if you've gone through the motions and money has been exchanged, you can't go to court and say, I didn't mean it. Mm. Think of secular law today. Go to secular law today. Well, I sold him my house, right? We had a lawyer, and we had sold the house, and there was a mortgage, and then go try to go to court and say, well, I didn't really mean it. When I was selling my house, you know, I was having feelings of nostalgic feelings over my home. I didn't really want to sell it. So, you know, I want to take back my house. They'll laugh you out. They'll say, listen, you sat down, you signed the dotted line, there was a lawyer, there was a this, there was a that, the money was exchanged, and you signed the papers. Too bad. If you make a transaction, the transaction is a transaction. You're telling me there's a lack of gemira stas, it doesn't look right because you did it last year? Since this transaction is only being as a transaction in order to fulfill the requirement that you're not allowed to have it in your house, we're now requiring you to get it out of your house, it's only a sale midrabanan, so the term he uses, heim amru. They said you have to sell it, so they also said you can sell it with a weak type of transaction that resembles a harama. So this is the chiddush of the Bukhar Shar, which basically acknowledges, you're right, the sale is a harama. The guy knows he doesn't have to pay the money now, and he knows the whole thing is a joke, and we're going to buy it back. But the bottom line is, you're going through the motions. Going through the motions is enough to achieve a mechira for something that anyway you are mevatel, anyway doesn't really have much value to you. This is the sheet of the Bukhar Shah. However, many, many Achrayim disagree with that. Before we go further, I want to talk with you with the Masos Ben Yamin. The Masos Ben Yamin, he says that the Mechira, he says a similar Svara, but the other way around. By selling Chametz to a guy, you are showing you don't want it to be in your Rishus. So then when you Mevatel it, it's a real Bittel. Just the other way around. When you mevatel chametz, are you really sincere? Prove me. You take out the card and you say, "Kol chamira v'chamira de'ika b'rishus say I'm mevatel." Really? You're really serious? Prove it to me that you're really serious. I'll prove it to you that I'm serious because I'm selling it. I'm selling all of my chametz to a guy. By going to the rabbi and going through the motions of selling chametz to the guy, you show that when you declare your chametz ownerless, you're dead serious. Even though the transaction is not such a good transaction. It doesn't need to be a good transaction. It doesn't need to be a transaction that's 100% perfect. Even if the transaction is only 70% perfect, that's good enough to reveal, to show your mindset that you are sincere.